we are to the public hearing portion of our meeting, and as I said before, this portion of the meeting is designated for public comment on finalization. So if you want to speak to the finalizations, this will be the opportunity to do so. Mr. Nick Michaels, the department attorney will be facilitating this meeting, and he'll walk you through what specific items are up for discussion. With that, Mr. Michaels, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As a reminder, we are right now entering the public hearing portion, so you are limited in what you are up here to speak about, namely those proposals which are potentially being finalized by the commission today. You will be limited to 3 minutes. I will let you know when you've approached that three-minute mark, at which point you will need to wrap up your comments to the commission. We'll first address item 14A on their agenda, which is Custer State Park Bison Rules. I have no sign-in sheets from anybody. Is there anyone here present in person who wishes to address the commission specifically on Custer State Park Bison Rules to be finalized? Seeing none, is there anyone here virtually who wishes to address the commission specifically on the Custer State Park Bison Rules? Hearing none, we'll move then to item 14B on the commission's agenda, which is Custer State Park coyote hunting season. Is there anyone here present in person who wishes to address the commission on the Custer State Park coyote hunting season rules? Hearing none, is there anyone here present virtually online who wishes to address the commission on the Custer State Park coyote hunting season rules? Hearing none, then we'll move to the final finalization item on the commission's agenda, which is 15A through F, small game hunting seasons. Is there anyone present here who wishes to address the commission concerning small game hunting seasons rules? Yes.
Hi, I'm Nancy Hilding. I'm president of Prairie Hills Audubon Society. Can you hear me with my mask on?
Yes.
Okay, so I guess I have to comment on all of them all at once. So our main concern is the grouse hunting season. We are concerned about a rule that will result in more grouse being shot, and we remain perpetually concerned about the greater prairie chicken, which nationwide experiences every 10 years a 50% decrease in its population, although that hasn't happened yet in South Dakota, and it's been extirpated from many states, although it's still safe in South Dakota. We remained concerned that the greater prairie chicken competes with the pheasants, that the male pheasants drive off the male prairie chickens, and that the female pheasants lay eggs in the prairie chickens' nests, and the pheasant eggs hatch before the prairie chickens' eggs hatch. So then the prairie chicken raises pheasants. So we remain perpetually concerned about the fact that pheasants pose a threat, which are introduced exotic species from Asia, pose a threat to the greater prairie chicken. And I don't know if I'm going to have time to comment on your management plans, your action plans on pheasants. Those action plans and whatever should always recognize the effect that pheasants have on greater prairie chicken, and you should be perhaps maximizing pheasant hunting in the areas where the prairie chicken and the pheasants overlap, so that there's less threat from the pheasants to the prairie chicken. But we are particularly concerned about the prairie chicken. We also do not know, my bad, I have not seen recently any kind of estimate or review or anything on ruffed grouse. And we are concerned that when the shooting hours are sunrise to sunset, particularly in the winter, that, you know, the animals, the birds need to be able to get back under cover if it's cold. And, we think there should be an offset here, maybe a half hour before sunset. Okay. We remain perpetually concerned, always, when you have your, how does the regulation impact the next generation of hunters, anglers, trappers, and outdoor recreationists? We remain perpetually concerned that you realize that birders and wildlife watchers are part of outdoor recreationists.
You have reached your 3-minute time. Please wrap up your comments.
Oh, okay. Well, we're having to do finalizations on all of them instead of just one species. So, you know, we are concerned about the sunset issue for all of the species. We're concerned about increasing the hunting of all of them because we're birders and we like to watch the birds. And so when you shoot them, there's less of them for us as birders to watch. And that should always be discussed in number 3 here.
You have reached your 3-minute time. Please wrap up your comments.
Okay. You shouldn't put 5 finalizations under 1 3-minute time limit. Thank you.
Is there anyone else here present in person who wishes to address the commission concerning small game hunting seasons? Is there anyone present online virtually who wishes to address the commission on small game hunting seasons? And I think I may have...
I can't hear. What are you calling for? I can't hear you.
I'm asking if there's anyone present virtually who wishes to address the commission on the finalizations for small game hunting seasons.
I would like to comment on all 3 of the wildlife plans that you have.
On bison, coyote, and small game hunting season?
I'm sorry, what was it?
Are you asking to address the commission on bison, on coyote, and on small game hunting season?
On the bobcat and the pheasant and the deer.
We will be addressing that in the open forum. Right now we are addressing finalization topics, specifically the small game hunting season. And I believe I may have missed someone virtually who wished to testify. Is a Don Kelly present virtually? Is there a Kim Kelly who is virtually present? Is there anyone else then, either present or in person, who wishes to address the commission concerning these finalizations?
My name is Kim Kelly.
Go ahead, Ms. Kelly, you have 3 minutes.
I am addressing the beaver moratorium. Is this the time?
Not yet, actually. We'll be getting to that shortly. Right now we're addressing finalizations. Madam Chair, having heard anything further on finalizations, we can move from there.
Very good. So that was the end of the public hearing for finalizations. We're going to move to open forum. This is the portion of the meeting where if you want to address the petitions, proposals, or if there are other items of interest that are not on the agenda, this is the opportunity for you to do so. And again, Mr. Nick Michaels will be facilitating and will guide us through.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to let you and the rest of the commission know, we do have a few people who wish to speak on some of the petition items, which you will be addressing later. I first have Nancy Hildring.
I
Ms. Hilding, I'm sorry, your microphone's not on.
There we go. I'm going to do multiple topics. Okay. The first one is your wildlife action plans. They were tied to management plans that were hidden in the commission book, and I've forgotten how many days you gave, but it was, 23, 24, something like that, which was an adequate amount of time to read three plans in depth and the short action plans. Okay, so the next comment that we're making here, I gave her one copy of this, which is a letter to President Biden asking for a moratorium on beaver hunting, trapping on all federal lands, and I didn't attach the signatures, but there's 14 pages of signatures that I didn't copy and attach to you. But I included a reference, a hyperlink to this in the beaver petitions. And I believe that Sandra Sehrberger from the Sierra Club is going to be commenting on this later. And so I made sure to give you the text of the letter so that you would have that in the public record. So when she comments, you will have the text as well as the link in my petition. Okay, so our Audubon signed this. We support this. Okay, and you can read it if you want to. You've got a link in the petition. Okay, so my next comment is going to be on the Mountain Lion Plan stakeholder group, and I sent you a handout on this. I have been given a list, and I think other people may be testifying on this also. I've been given a list of the groups invited to attend this, and there are 8 hunting groups, 1 individual, 2 agencies, and 2 environmental groups invited to the stakeholder group. And I have been following the mountain lion issues since 2005. I've only missed one hearing because I was out of state. I've been to every petition for rulemaking on mountain lions. A lot of the groups on here are not commenting, okay? And so groups that are commenting, like the Mountain Lion Foundation and Cougar Fund, who called up John Canta and asked to attend and volunteered to come here, to fly here to attend the meeting, were told they couldn't. But there's no animal welfare group. If you just want to invite every hunting group in South Dakota, you can invite every environmental and biodiversity group in South Dakota. For example, the Norbeck Society, who focuses on public land, and these mountain lions are substantially on the Black Hills National Forest. And the issue coming up, I think, is that some people want to support hound
hunting.
You've
reached your 3-minute mark, ma'am, if you could wrap up your comments.
How many minutes do I have?
You've reached your 3-minute mark.
All right, so we think this is completely and totally unfairly skewed, and if you're having a stakeholder group and there's 9 on one side and 2 on the other side, the outcome of the stakeholder group is preordained by who you invite. Thank you. Yep.
We'll next hear from Sandra Sehrberger. I believe she's appearing virtually. Ms. Sehrberger, are you there? Ms. Sehrberger, are you present? Okay, we'll try to come back to her. We'll next hear from Kim Kelly, who I believe is also present virtually. Ms. Kelly, are you there?
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
My name is Kim Kelly. Thank you all for inviting our comments today. The Black Hills chapter of Dakota Rural Action recognizes beaver as a very important keystone species in South Dakota. By stabilizing streams and other activities, beaver are very beneficial to biodiversity, surface and groundwater supplies, and to water quality protection. South Dakota GF&P should be doing everything in its power to recover this species in the Black Hills and across South Dakota. South Dakota GF&P's own fall survey of 2023, beaver winter caches in the Black Hills, found a 73% reduction in winter caches between fall 2012 and fall 2023. South Dakota GF&P's data also shows that beaver have disappeared from many drainages in South Dakota and Wyoming over the last 11 years. While the National Forest controls many of the management decisions related to providing riparian habitat for beavers, GF&P controls a major cause of beaver mortality, hunting and trapping. Restrictions on hunting and trapping can quickly reverse the decline in beaver populations. We strongly support the petition for rulemaking to be submitted at the May 2024 Commission meeting, asking for a 3-year moratorium on beaver hunting and trapping in the Black Hills National Forest. We are also concerned about the South Dakota GF&P's 12-month beaver trap, the Black Hills Fire Protection District. The increase from 6 months to 12-month season for much of South Dakota purportedly allowed killing of, quote, conflict beavers. However, this is unnecessary as South Dakota Codified Law 41-8-23 allows landowners to get permission from South Dakota GF&P to kill conflict beaver. The 12-month season is of special concern on public land, where the agency has multiple objectives and land managers should be managing to promote beavers for ecosystem health, not helping to destroy the remaining population. Beavers are strongly associated with river otters, which are currently not found in western South Dakota. The river otter population should be helped to recover in western South Dakota. Otters are strongly associated with beaver habitat and are accidentally killed in beaver traps.
Ms. Kelly, you've reached your 3 minutes time. Please wrap up your comments.
Beaver trapping should end in March. Just another minute here. We support reducing the beaver hunting and trapping season from 12 to 5 months. This would still allow trapping from November to the end of March in South Dakota outside of the Black Hills National Forest. If other public land agencies ask for shorter seasons or temporary moratoriums on trapping, we would support these as well.
Ms. Kelly, you've gone over your 3 minutes. Please wrap up your comments.
Audubon Society's petitions for a moratorium on beaver hunting and trapping in the Black Hills National Forest, and also their petition for a reduction in season length outside the Black Hills National Forest to a 5-month.
Ms. Kelly, you've gone over your 3 minutes. Please wrap up your comments.
Thank you all for your kind attention.
Ms. Seeberger, are you present?
I'm unmuted now. May I speak?
Yes.
Thank you very much. I thank you for letting me have comments about the beavers and some of their very special values. These benefits are directly addressed from the national challenge highlighted in the November 2022 Opportunities to Accelerate Nature-Based Solutions, page 13, table 1. From the Biden, a letter that was sent to President Joseph B. Biden from the Western Watersheds Project and signed with many pages of please take care of the beavers. The first point is the temporary storage of large volumes of surface and ground water. Secondly, it improves our water quality. Thirdly, beavers increase the size and abundance of natural fire breaks. Four, it improves and expands wildlife habitat. Fifth, it improves and expands fish habitat. Protecting beavers by closing public lands to beaver trapping and hunting will improve their survival rates and is, in fact, the only mortality factor that we can control. I'm very interested in this because some years back, I visited the north of the United States and went into a museum devoted just to the fur trapping of beavers. And under their statement was, it was the first environmental tragedy in the United States. Thank you for your time, and I hope you appreciate beavers.
Thank you, Ms. Seeberger. We'll next hear from Dana Rogers, who I believe is present in person.
First of all, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity. My name is Dana Rogers. I'm speaking on behalf of the South Dakota Wildlife Federation. Just basically more for comment than anything on the landowner-owned land, antlerless elk permits. I think we could take a little bit of learning from that last bill. Over the last several years, there's been a couple of bills that were financed by well-to-do non-resident landowners in hopes of getting some non-resident bull elk licenses. So when this bill came out, it was very hard to determine that without a lot of questions. So through that process, talking to the legislators who really didn't know much about the bill themselves, and quite a bit of work, I got in touch with the department, learned what they were wanting to do and why they're wanting to do. I totally understood it, but that was weeks after the bill was already initiated. So some of the wildlife groups were obviously going to fight this. I wish there'd have been some consideration and consolidated effort to talk to people before it was actually initiated. So that's just a suggestion there. For the Wildlife Federation's part, during the testimony throughout the entire session, the department was talking about this was trying to increase public access to private land through prairie elk, which that's a great goal. That's what we want. Everybody wants that. With this new license approval, the Wildlife Federation would very much appreciate some formal monitoring, a lot of questions. The Game Fish and Park staff that knows these landowners, you know, document who's allowing free access, who's getting these permits and who's allowing free access. Formal surveys. We'd request that there be formal surveys made with these particular landowners. How many of these landowners, what percentage are actually allowing limited free public access versus how many operate on a fee-based level? We'd like to see that tracked. The Wildlife Federation is very interested in, to see if this actually does improve public access. I really like the Elk Hunters Access Program that the department has been using for the last several years. I think it's a fantastic way to get landowners and sportsmen involved in creating some access, so I hope that they'll continue to really push that. One thing that I do want to just ask and remind the department and also the commission when we're talking about things like this is some of the rules that we already have in place. Administrative Rule 41-6, 46-9, we're talking about depredation. Affected landowners are to allow free access. A landowner requesting assistance from the state for any big game depredation shall permit hunting access to hunters possessing a depredation permit without charge during any of these depredation hunts. In addition to that, when we're talking about the Elk Hunter Access Program, we also have like fencing.
You have reached your 3 minutes, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. Basically, there's rules in place that stipulate if they're going to get considerations, financial considerations, equipment considerations, they're supposed to allow free and public access. So please keep that in mind. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll next hear from Tim Goodwin, who I believe is president in person.
Thank you. I think most of you know me. I'm Tim Goodwin. I'm a recovering legislator, but I'm not recovered very well because I'm running again. So I'm back in the fight, Jim, so we'll see what happens. And then to make it more complicated, I got 7 people in the race. I mean, come on. One Democrat in the fall and then 6 right now. So the top 2 go forward. So June 4th, everybody watching TV. But we might not know until about June 15th because Fowler County is going to paper count all the ballots. They're not going to use machines. So could be a long week. Hopefully, guys far enough ahead where you don't have to stay awake worrying about that one. But anyway, I just wanted to give a report on the lion season that just finished on the 30th of April, I should say. really appreciate the Game Fish and Parks having this season, all the support we get from the department. Secretary, thanks for all your support. Thanks for bringing guys to our lion banquet every year, and you coming yourself. And we just really think it went really well. The max quota we could have killed this year was 60 lions or 40 females, whichever came first. And we came in at 47, which I think is phenomenal because we didn't have a winter, really. I mean, we didn't have any snow to speak of. So tracking was really hard. There's only a few days you could. And so the 47, 30 were females and 17 males. And probably the reason the females were higher is it seems that females are easier to call in because that's about the only way you could get a lion is if you could call them in instead of tracking them. And tracking, you just wait till you get a big track and go after the males. You could be selective that way. So it seems like there wasn't any issues. I didn't hear any problems really with anything. Would like to maybe have you look at the bobcat season being separate from the lion season so we don't have them overlapping. I think I've sent a couple things in about that. You could have the bobcat season a little bit earlier and end on the 26th of December because the season goes 26th December to 30 April. So if you could have the bobcats by itself, I think that would stop people from running dogs in the Black Hills Forest District. You know, and I'm not saying they do this, but saying they're hunting bobcats and they're actually hunting lions. So it would just make it clean. And I think everybody wants everything to be clean, and I don't think nobody intentionally wants to break the law. Other than that, I think our recommendation of the lion hunters is, you know, keep everything the same. I know there's been surveys, Secretary Roebling, going on since, I don't know when they first started going out, but they're still coming out. I think you're surveying us to death, and maybe somebody filled out more than one, I don't know. But anyway, you should have enough data there, but I think recommendation to everybody that I've talked to is to just keep everything like it is. It's working. And I really appreciate your verdict you had before the season started. We were in Watertown where the hounds weren't allowed in the Black Hills Forest District. I understand we want to have a placeholders meeting and maybe massage that a little bit, which we would like to do. You know, if you do have hounds in the Black Hills, you know, if you look at a Forest Service map, all the white areas is private ground, the green is federal ground, and then dogs, that lion's going to go across everybody's ground, and you're going to have a lot of trespassing issues and that kind of thing. And plus, if you're out there with your son and your grandson, you're tracking a cat or calling in, and here comes a hound. So it seems like we're not having problems now. So I guess if it ain't broke, let's not try to fix it. So that's all I have. I'll be around if you have any questions. Thank you.
We'll next hear from Josh Rosenau, who I believe is present virtually.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. My name is Josh Rosenau. I live in Washington State. I'm the Director of Policy and Advocacy for the Mountain Lion Foundation. We operate across the country, working with state agencies and communities to ensure the survival and recovery of America's lion. I'm concerned about the balance of views on the stakeholder group being formed to work on the Mountain Lion Plan. By my count, the group includes multiple stakeholders representing the hunting, trapping, hound hunting, elk hunting, and other hunting interests, a total of 8 members. In addition to a lone landowner, the group also includes 1 representative each from the Sierra Club and Audubon Society. There are no outside mountain lion researchers and no one from groups like ours that advocate specifically on behalf of mountain lions and the people from South Dakota who value them as essential components of the ecosystem. A better balance of stakeholders without financial or consumptive stakes in mountain lion hunting would better serve the state by giving due weight to the social and ecological importance of mountain lions. While we don't have staff in South Dakota, our staff did reach out to your team at GFP to offer to travel and attend the stakeholder group meeting planned to discuss mountain lion management. We also offered to help identify community members in the area who might offer a broader set of perspectives on the importance of mountain lions to their own lives and the lands where they live. When I've participated in similar stakeholder groups in other states, seats have been reserved for outside scientists, for mountain lion conservation advocates, outdoor recreationists, and for groups with broader wilderness and wildlife interests, as well as for livestock owners, houndsmen, and hunters. South Dakotans should be, and many are, proud to be at the leading edge of the restoration of mountain lions to lands where they were extirpated by overhunting and poor management in the last century. The population remains tenuous and dependent on immigration from neighboring states, and a too rapid increase in hunting could undo the progress South Dakota has made to restore this essential part of the landscape. Research has found that mountain lions have, quote, the most diverse set of biotic relationships documented for any carnivore in the world, playing a crucial role in the well-being of plants, insects, birds, ungulates, and other wildlife that South Dakotans value. It's crucial that the state's mountain lion management plan be informed by a full and balanced range of perspectives to ensure that these benefits are given the weight they deserve. While the many finely divided hunting communities which were given seats at this table no doubt have important perspectives to share, it's important to remember that licensed hunters represent just under a quarter of South Dakota's population, and few of those, perhaps just 1 or 2%, apply for mountain lion hunting draws. Surveys by Responsive Management, who your agency contracts for polling and consulting on R3 programs, finds that mountain lion hunting is the form of North American hunting that the U.S. public, hunters included, finds least acceptable, beaten out only by trophy hunting for elephants and lions in Africa. Recruiting stakeholders who are out of step with your state's population would do a disservice to that process and to the wildlife in the state that this process should serve. I want to reiterate our offer to participate in the process or to help recruit South Dakotans with a more representative range of views on this prized and beloved species. Thank you so much for your time and the chance to speak with you.
We'll next hear from Julie Anderson, who I believe is present virtually as well. Ms. Anderson, are you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello, yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Ms. Anderson.
Okay, my name is Julie Anderson and I live in Rapid City. I would like to comment on the upcoming proposals to wildlife management plans. In your Bobcat proposal, the following is stated in your guiding principles. Future of wildlife, including bobcats, depends on a public that appreciates, understands, and supports wildlife and wildlife conservation and in the public's right to participate in decisions related to wildlife issues. I see nothing in these proposals that includes non-hunting public amendments, such as designating areas free from hunting and trapping, for including biologists from animal protection groups to give input on management practices, for establishing non-lethal methods of dealing with wildlife conflicts, and for the right of the public to object to and stop cruel hunting methods. I would like to request at this meeting that the above-mentioned proposals I have just stated be incorporated into these plans as part of the guiding principles. Another principle mentioned is recreational hunting and trapping are legitimate uses of bobcats and must be encouraged and preserved. I object to this principle's requirement that hunting and trapping must be encouraged and preserved. I formally request that the statement, humane treatment of animals and conservation must be primary, be added to this principle. Also, I object to the wording, recreational hunting and trapping are legitimate uses of bobcats. This wording categorizes them as inanimate objects to be used as if they were a supply that could be replaced, which is unacceptable and should be removed. Regarding white-tailed deer season, the use of hounds to hunt other species should be looked at as detriment to prey species. The scent of dogs will deter animals from a given area, and those impacts should be studied. Regarding ring-necked pheasant season, with a seasonal harvest of over 1 million birds, the Nest Predator Bounty Program serves only as a South Dakota Trappers Association recruitment tool and should be abolished. This program has killed over 250,000 animals. To quote, encourage people to get outside, seek the adventure, and help sustain our state's outdoor traditions for the next generation. Dead corpses without tails littered on the side of dirt roads and in the field as seen on Facebook, and teaching children at an early age that it's okay to kill an animal for fun and outdoor recreation is an unacceptable tradition that needs to stop. With all the press our governor has gotten over her lack of empathy for animals, it pales in comparison to what she and this commission are responsible for with this program. I respectfully request that the Nest Predator Bounty Program be halted immediately and taken out of this plan. So for the above-mentioned reasons, I respectfully ask that the public be included in the writing and implementation of these management programs. This includes the beaver management proposals being introduced today.
You've reached your 3-minute mark, Ms.
These proposals are based on science, and there is no reason that they should not be adopted and implemented. Thank you.
Those are all the sheets that I have. Is there anyone here physically present who wishes to address the commission during this open forum?
President, Commissioners, and Secretary Robling. I'm glad to be able to be here. I want to speak on the white-tailed deer population in western South Dakota. We got many areas that the population has dropped something fierce because of EHD. Some of it is the wasting disease. But I think the reason they are not coming back in the last few years, a lot of people say, well, the whitetail will be right back, is because of the coyotes. Because when you have 300-400 deer in an area, you're going to have a lot of fawns. And with the population down to a fourth of what it was in a lot of areas, a lot of counties in West River, it's still taking the same amount of fawns to feed the deer or feed the coyotes. So the coyotes are cleaning up the fawns. There's no reproduction. On my ranch, as well as many other people that I talked to, there was no fawns survived the first through the summer and into the fall and become adults. And if we can't stop the coyotes and the predators from cleaning up these fawns, I don't foresee it'd be a long time, if any time, that it's going to come back. Because the mule deer seem to be holding their own, but the whitetails stay in those creeks and shelter belts, and the coyotes gang up on them and just seem to clean them up. And it's just a tough deal. Like on my ranch, I would say that there's only 15% of the whitetails left that there were 4 years ago. I would like for the commission to understand that when they talked about the units, that 49B unit was thrown together with C about 15 years ago. And when you get to that point, I would really like to see that unit split again. I think it's one of the biggest units in the state. And there's a tremendous difference in the land, more flat land in the northern part of B, and that the lower part of B that was C is all river breaks, mostly mule deer down there. I think it needs to be split back up. And I know there was some talk on the commission about it earlier. But thank you for your time.
Sir, can I ask you to state your name for the record, too?
Charles Spring.
Thank you. Is there anyone else present in person who wishes to address the commission? Is there anyone present virtually online who wishes to address the commission during this open forum? Not hearing any, Madam Chair, I believe we can close this portion of the agenda.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Michaels, and thanks to everybody who did come forth and share their comments and concerns with the commission today. We are going to continue through the agenda, moving down to the petition.